Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast. And I'm with this morning my truly great friend. I have so much time, a personal level. We spend time together, always talking. The famous Mr. Barry John. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Ian. Good morning.
Excellent. And for those of you who are listening, know that Lily's not so well. How's she doing?
Oh, she's having a tough time at the moment.
And do you think that her eye will recover? This is Barry's dog we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, she's okay. Yeah, she's getting by. She's backwards and forwards to the vets at the moment.
Excellent. Barry, I want to put you on the spot because you did say to me, what are we going to talk about? And I thought, I'm not going to do that with Barry. I'm just going to just get straight to the point. Barry, very tough times at the moment, no doubt about it. I know that you were saying to me, and consistently have said to me over the last few months, so many people are coming to you for spiritual advice, for support. And to some degree, when you are doing that to help people, it can weigh heavily on your shoulders yourself. And if you're not careful, you can take on the concerns of other people who you love and care for and know very well indeed. But Barry, at this moment in time, how important is it for us to connect to their spiritual being, and how important is it to rise above the mundane to Friday and really seek your inner spiritual self?
You know, this is a tremendous question really to be asked, and I want to say, you know what, yeah, you're absolutely right. People are coming to us time and time again at the moment, and a lot of that really is for personal comfort, I want to say, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that are on their own a lot of the time at the moment. They're finding it exceptionally difficult that their loved ones aren't with them, or their family's not with them, and in some cases, you know, family who are still here, you know, aren't with them. So because they're isolating, they're self-protecting. And I think, you know, we really should be reaching out and helping these people and giving them that guidance, what they need really. And as I say, it's not always about spiritual communication for me. It's about their well-being, you know, it's about how are they in day-to-day life and what sort of things are they dealing with on a day-to-day basis that maybe they need an element of, I don't even want to use the word support. I just want to say they need an element of arm around the shoulder just to go, do you know what? You're doing all right. You're getting there. You know, you're making the right choices. And, you know, this really, really, I mean, I've got to say, this is something in my life and in our lifetime that I never, ever, ever thought we would experience, where people are just reaching out for comfort, really, a lot of the time. And you're finding it time and time again when I do lives where people generally just want to chat. They want that coffee chat session with us. And that, to me, is so much more important at this moment in time than giving somebody a message from their loved one in the spirit world. Because I think we're all finding it incredibly hard, incredibly difficult, and incredibly lonely. And I'm going to include me in that as well at the same time.
Mm. Barry, I love your idea. I remember over at your house before the first lockdown, and we were doing a little bit of recording. And I love the idea when you said to me, you know what's a wonderful thing to do is have a five-name list. And I said, what do you mean? You said, write the name of five people on a list and make sure that you call one of them each day. And it's amazing how much reward you get from mutual reward. Could you expand on that idea a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous idea, you know, and let's be honest, where we are now, we're in so much a better position in terms of technology than what we would have been, you know, 20, 30 years ago. You know, I have lots and lots of chats now with friends over FaceTime, over video chats, you name it. And you know what? That for me has really kept me going. And I think it's about letting individuals and yourself, letting you know that you're not on your own anymore, you know, that people are there, people are around you. And sometimes it's just being able to get that other voice, you know, that other communication where you can actually go, do you know what, I'm having a tough day today, or I'm all right today, or tomorrow's not looking good, you know. And people come into you, and I'm finding this more and more now, where even on Facebook, you know, people who, you know, have been friends for years, you know.
So these friends for years, Barry, your five name list is unique, because what you like to say to people is get a piece of paper and think of five friends from your past, maybe have not spoken to you before, whatever it is. Get this five name list as diverse as you possibly can and contact them. See how they're doing, because, as you say, there's nothing more enriching and there's nothing more kind and there's nothing more beneficial than somebody who comes from your past, who you loved and cared for, and you just out of the blue say, hey, you, how are you doing? Mm.
Absolutely right, Ian. You know, I mean, I think it's really nice that this list of friends that we all should have, really, and let's be honest, we should have this on a regular basis. You know, I do it sometimes where, you know, somebody who I've not heard from for a long time might pop up on my Facebook and I'll just go, how are you? You know, what are you doing? And you always find that that person needs you to reach out at that moment in time, and vice versa as well. You know, that could work for me and for them. And I think we should all do that a lot more often. And this isn't just about families. You know, there's a lot bigger field out there. You know, over the years of me working and doing psychic readings, I've made some really, really good friends via the internet, via the services that I offer. And, you know, it's really nice when one of them reaches back to me or reaches out to me and just says, you know, I was thinking about you today. How are you? And, you know, I think all that sort of very sort of personal, touchy-feeling side of things for people is so, so important. And the one thing I would not want any of us to do is to lose that. So having that list of contacts, that list of friends who you contact on a daily basis is very important. And again, let's be honest, nowadays, the technology we've got is so different to what we used to have by just dropping somebody a quick text message or a quick email.
So you're saying, Barry, there's no excuse. You've got to do it. And I have to pick up on another conversation that we had, well, quite very recently. It's really important when you're talking to your friends that you're talking to your friend and not associating what your friend is doing and their associations with other people, because you might have two people out there who are in conflict over something or whatever. That doesn't prevent you from talking to somebody. Don't take sides. Keep an open mind. And by demonstrating that and not getting involved in other people's arguments, you're actually strengthening them and knowing that you're a supportive person, and that can only be good.
Well, again, I think that's sometimes in our nature, isn't it? More of us are very supportive than others in some cases, but then that ties into what I do on a daily basis in terms of being a psychic, where, you know, I want people to have an element of empathy both ways. You know, I want to have that sympathy with people as well, where we can talk about things. You know, when people come to me as a client, you know, they're coming to me because they really want that support from somebody else, you know, that guidance. And I think that can only get stronger for all of us. And I think certainly, you know, where people want to develop their abilities, we can do that more on a day-to-day basis now. We can look at that development and how it helps others to move forward as well at the same time.
Great. So a group of people, write them down, make sure you call them regularly, seek your mind, find about people you haven't spoken to and you'd like to see how they're doing, because that really helps them. And don't allow yourself to be influenced by what other people are doing with other people. Talk to your friends as a friend about your direct relationship. Can I take this further? When you are working with somebody, your history of working with people one-to-one, spiritually, mediumistically, goes back 25 years plus. So you get an incredible insight into how people are. Do you feel that at this moment in time, people are more feared or more afraid of their lives and about their futures than at other times? Do you think that this particular crisis has really gone deeply into people's psyche, Barry?
I think that's a very valuable question for people at the moment. And, you know, that's really got my mind working, I want to say to you. I think people's lives are always going to be complicated. I think we all, individually, we all get into a situation where things get a little bit confusing for us. But I think definitely the hardest part for people at the moment, and I hear this time and time again, and I've just had another one this morning from a very dear friend of mine whose partner's very terminally ill, where they can't have that personal contact, they can't have that personal touch at the end of somebody's life. And the whole impact of that isn't just about today. The impact of that is about the rest of somebody's life. So, if they're not there to see the final hours with somebody passing over to the other side or saying goodbye, on a counselling level, on a personal level, my question would be, what impact will that have on the rest of somebody's lives? Well, that's going to be massive, because not being allowed to say goodbye to somebody that you love at that moment in time when you want to and when you need to, because that's part of the grieving process, really does have that huge impact moving forward.
I know it's a very difficult situation. I have a friend, Liz and I have a friend, who was not with their partner when she died, and as you have correctly said, he is seriously damaged over it, because his opinion was that when she was in the palliative care ward, everybody within that ward was going to die, and he felt that it would have been in some way possible for his partner to have been put into a private area just for the last day or so that she could say her goodbyes. And I think that the tragedy of that is, as you say, Barry, the connotations of it, the long-term impact of that is almost incomprehensible for us to think about. Because people take those last few days, the methodology of it, they take it as read that you're going to be looked after, pain control is going to be absolutely excellent, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, goodness knows, we know that there are some very difficult moments before one enters the final sleep. I mean, I always say, never worry about the final sleep. It's just the entry to it that really is the thing that would concern. But we're going to have a great deal of people, Barry, who will not be able to forgive the situation. I know that's cruel, but there are going to be a lot of bitter people having to cope with memories that are going to be non-erasable.
There will be, and I think that, that rises way above, mediumship. It rises way above that psychic level, where this will affect people on a mental health level, really, for the rest of their lives, because they've not had that intimacy towards the end. And, I totally agree with you. It's not about the point of crossing. It's the point before that of what the person's going through, And we all know that our services out there, are doing a great, great support to people and are probably trying to do their best to allow people that comfort in the end. But is that the same as having your family there with you? Is that the same as having your loved one sat next to you that you might have been married to for 40, 50 years to really just hold your hand at that final passing point? And we know, we talk about this all the time, I do, where once somebody's passed to the spirit world, the relief of pain, that release point happens instantly. I've never had spirit come back to me and said, oh, by the way, once I've crossed over, just let them know I was still suffering for another 6 or 12 months. Mm. It doesn't happen like that, it really doesn't. And I think this is where, for me, it is so, so important now for us to start all looking forward, because people who have lost somebody at this moment in time will be coming to us very, very soon, coming to us all as psychics and mediums, coming to us just to say, are they all right? How are they? I needed to say goodbye. And, I talk about this often, where if people have had that family fallout or that family upset, and not put things right, that is the biggest piece of guilt for anybody to carry in their lives and for the rest of their lives as well.
I know when you talk about Colin Fry, you light up. You don't mourn his death, you celebrate his life. Do you feel that's a good way to approach difficult situations? Could you use that, if you like, as a release valve?
I think that's a fantastic way to do it, and I think any sort of passing or point of mourning should be dealt with as a celebration of life. And as you know, I do celebrant services where, you know, I carry out funeral services for people. And the one thing I always say is this is a celebration of life. This is not a mourning of life. We are praising the thanks of having somebody in our lives. And, you know, we shouldn't be crying at the point of, you know, losing them. What we should be doing is we should be rejoicing that actually we've had somebody in our lives for that period and for that long. And I know that's easy for me to say, you know, and from a personal point of view, you know, I've lost loved ones who are very close to me, and I lost a very dear auntie of mine a few months ago, where, you know, it's very difficult. I mean, and, you know, why is it whenever this happens to us, we always look back and we go, well, why didn't I just have the time just to nip round and just say, how are you? Or even to drop a phone call through just to go, I've just been thinking about you today. And unfortunately, you know, and I've just done a write-up on this today, where people's lives are so busy. But is it the fact that we are so busy, or is it the fact that we choose to make them so busy?
You know, isn't that interesting? It's full circle. It's the same thing, isn't it? Get those five names down, connect to people, talk to people. Mm. Don't leave it until it's too late. There is no better time than now to begin to appreciate and look at what people contribute to your life and what you can contribute to theirs, because once people enter the final sleep, very often there is no more communication. I mean, if spirit decides to reincarnate, the spirit's gone.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm glad that you like mentioned Colin, because I mean, I have, as you know, when Colin was passing, we were in touch more or less on a daily basis. And I have a message from Colin that I've still saved to this very point. And his comment in it was, Barry, I am not scared of dying. I'm not scared of dying. He says, I'm scared of who I leave behind. And, you know, what a fantastic way to say it. And that's the thing I've always said to people is the point of death for any of us, or the point of passing, isn't to be feared. It's how people deal with it after we've gone. And you know, I want to make sure that somewhere down the line, you know, me and people that I know, we've all left a legacy, or we've left a memory that can be celebrated and can be rejoiced. And I think that's the most important thing.
Very good. And of course, there is no doubt that Colin was exemplary in his moments before passing to the other side. And he really did. And it was transparent that he was brave, and it was transparent that he was going to continue working right up until the last moment. Mm-hmm. Very special man to be able to do that, to be a person of your convictions and to follow it through. You must have nothing but admiration for that act.
Oh, 110%. I mean, I remember when Colin was ill, you know, and we was doing the final tour together. And I remember there was times where he'd just go out on stage and 10 minutes and he'd just go, I just can't do any more. And it just drained him. It just absolutely drained him. But, you know, when you think about him, he worked literally... Oh, blimey. I mean, you're talking probably literally up to about 4 weeks to the point of him passing. So it shows you just how ill he must have been to have allowed it to continue for so long.
But he always wanted to tempt you onto the stage for many years before you actually spent a lot of time with him. Do you think he was also saying, come on, boy, you're going to get onto that stage and I want to see you on the stage?
I think so very much. I mean, I remember having many, many meetings with Colin over the years. You know, he used to invite me down to his sort of gentleman's club down in London, you know, and I used to go down and meet him there for lunch and for dinner. And to start off with, you know, I always used to say to him, oh, I'm not good enough, Colin, I'm not good enough. And I'm sure I've told the story many times to people where, you know, in the end, Colin didn't really give me a choice. I remember he rang me up and said, oh, I've got you some tickets here for Retford. I'm there tomorrow night. You know, come and see me, come and have a look. And then literally half an hour as I was due to leave, he literally said, oh, what time are you arriving? Oh, come and see me backstage when you get here. So I did. And then that was when he turned around and said, oh, by the way, do you want to do the first or second half? Yeah. And you know, I mean, that was the day, unfortunately, when he did tell me how terminally his illness was and that technically there was nothing that could be done. But, you know, I want to say in a very nice way, he did set me up. He gave me no choice. And, you know, I praise him for that in a way.
Lovely. So, Barry, can we now change the subject completely? we need to talk a little bit about Pure Spirit. It's been stifled this year. We had two absolutely incredible bookings for Pure Spirit. The interest in it was absolutely astounding, and twice the C19 has come in and intervened, but we're still ready to run for 2021. Much enthusiasm about it, and it has given us time to plan and make sure that the events are going to go ahead. There is a special event. We won't talk about that because it needs to be signed, for the T's need to be crossed, the I's need to be dotted, but there is a very special event mid-year 2021. And to be fair, I think I love what you said to me at Newark when you said, Ian, we've got to celebrate the newness, we've got to celebrate opening doors, we've got to make sure that our Pure Spirit brand is all about that. It's a celebration. It's let's move on. Let's connect to our spiritual beings, because there's going to be a lot of people want to follow that particular genre.
Yeah, I mean, do you know, I mean, as you know, I mean, we all have 100% faith in Pure Spirit events, and we know that it's been so successful with the uptake and the interest, what people want to come along and join us, not only in terms of stall holders, but also in terms of the public that are going, yep, we're in for it, we want to come along. And do you know what? What a better way to do this by travelling us all around the country and really making a spectacular diary of the events for 2021. And, you know, I do want to celebrate it. You know, I want people to come along. I want people to come and join me, you and Liz on the day where, you know, we can look at things in a different way. And we're finding this more and more now, that suddenly over this year, really, people now are becoming more open. They want to come to workshops. I'm getting more online requests. You know, can we come and join you on your private workshop? Well, yeah, you know, that's what I operate that service for. And people, and now, because they're at home a lot more, they're probably opening up a little bit more. You know, their minds are probably overtime, working overtime a bit, where they're going, you know what, if there is something, I want to have a look. I want to see where this is going to lead me. And everybody at the moment, everybody has got so many questions about what's happening, why it's happening. You know, what are the spirit world telling you why it's happening? Have the spirit world given you any signs of when it'll be ending? You know, is this a sign of nature? What is it? You know, and this is what people are so fascinated by. So I think definitely moving forward, you know, we're more than overthrilled with the uptake on it so far. And yet, once we get into 2021, trust me, we'll hit the ground running and Pure Spirit events will be all over the UK.
We could actually comment, as cruel as it might sound, we could actually say that to some degree, this crisis has given us a complete clean slate for us to produce something that is unique and spectacular, Barry.
It has, yeah, because, I mean, we're finding now that venues are just approaching us now. You know, people are coming to almost look for us and going, actually, we've seen what you've got to offer. Can we have you on board with us? You know, will you come and help us out with our events at our location? And that's what we wanted. You know, we wanted to have this brand that people saw it as this well-being benefit, you know, almost this getting people back on board, you know, and running this as Pure Spirit events is just going to bring about a huge following behind us, really do.
Well, you see, we can confirm that with Staffordshire Showground, and of course we can confirm that with the new, completely revamped and brand new building at Lincolnshire Showground, which is going to be absolutely perfect for Pure Spirit, the connections to it, the live demonstrations, the people who are doing readings, the people who are selling spiritual goods, etc. The whole thing will come together in these lovely new fresh buildings, and they'll be extremely popular.
They will, you will, you know, and we have some tremendous stands, some tremendous storeholders that are coming to support us on the Pure Spirit events, you know, and that's what I want people to realise, is that, you know, come and have a look. There's going to be something different there, you know, there's going to be different storeholders, different services, and a lot of new faces, you know, and this was the one thing that I was always very big on when we started working together. Bring in new faces. We want some new characters who are coming out into the spiritual market, into the mind, body and spirit market, where they can come and almost start to showbox themselves, you know, to demonstrate themselves, to you know, perform talks where probably before they'd never had the opportunity because so many events were very, very clicky before.
Yes, I do. I totally believe that. But we're not going to give too many of our secrets away. I can assure you that we have spent many hours working about different formulas and different ideas. But it is changing. There's no two ways about it. The way that people will see any, and I mean any public event, is going to be different 2021. You can't run away from that. It's going to be different, and there'll be people eager to turn up to events. Barry, let's move away from that a little bit further. Let's talk about a little bit of advice. If there was one thing that you were going to say to our listeners this afternoon, where would you go? Where would you say to people to find solace, to find peace? Where would you advise people just to settle down and relax?
You know, it's a really, really good question. And again, you know, people ask me this a lot at the moment. And I suppose it depends what people are looking for. You know, do you want to be in the comfort of your own home, or do you want to get outdoors and find nature again? You know, my view is I'm one of these, you know, I get so much of being in the home situation. I want to move out. I want to go somewhere else. And I think walking outdoors, I live in a spectacular part of the world, Middle of Sherwood Forest. And I think what's wonderful is I can walk out my door and in 5 minutes I can be in the middle of the forest, away from everything, away from technology, away from IT, away from telephones. And people laugh at me about this. When I take my dogs for a walk most days, I don't take my mobile with me. And go, I've been trying to ring you. And I go, yeah, you probably have. But I haven't got my phone with me because I want to get away from it as well sometimes. You know, I want to just get back away into me again, you know, and find where I'm comfortable.
Barry, many people know that you are a Newstead Abbey and Byron expert. You're a guide at Newstead Abbey. Have you any news about the Abbey and what's happening there at the moment?
Well, unfortunately for us, due to our obviously current restrictions, we've had to close the house, and we are dressing the house for Christmas at the moment. And actually, some of the Christmas trees are going up today. Most of them are being put in public viewing points, so you'll be able to see them from outside the building through windows. And who knows, really? I mean, hopefully, let's say, you know, I would love to think that Newstead will be open for Christmas, people will be able to come in the house and see us over that Christmas period. But I've got to say, I'm sure that as soon as I walk back in and as soon as any of our guides walk back in, trust me, we can soon tell that house has been closed up, because it gets an awakening, it gets a feeling, you just know. And it's very strange, but I always say to people, Newstead Abbey needs people through it to keep it alive. And when it hasn't had people, it is so vibrant when you walk through that door on that first day, because it's almost like, right, you're here, you're back, then we're coming to see you. And I really hope we'll be back for Christmas. So I hope everybody can come and see us.
Barry, could you tell me what it's like to walk around the building when it's empty, when you walk around it on your own? Do you get feelings? I'm going to ask the question, because the question that people want me to ask, is it spooky?
Well, do you know, it's a classic one, isn't it? Because over the years, I mean, you know, I've done in excess of 5,000 ghost hunts now, public ghost hunts, you know, where I've been as the guest medium. And I've got to say, you know, Newstead for me, has it ever feared me? Well, a couple of times I have feelings, yes. But I think for me, because as we all know, you know, Joe Murray, who was my Five Trans great-grandfather up at Newstead, he was manservant to Lord Byron and unfortunately to the fifth Lord Byron, the wicked Lord. And I think what's nice for me, I always look at it that I'm doing his job now. And I think, you know what, if anybody's going to come and interfere with me, let's call it, I would hope that Joe's going to be a footstep behind me going, no, hang on a minute, you do know who he is. And I love the feeling of that place. I think I get fulfillment of joy when I open up, when I lock up. And I've got to say, even last year when we did the Halloween event, I remember being in the house all on my own at probably something like 9, 10 o'clock at night. There was a few lights on. Everybody else had gone outside. And there's me running around in stocking feet, dressed as the wicked Lord Byron, you know. And I've got to say, did I feel unwelcome? Not at all. That place feels like home to me.
Yes, because the building itself had quite a bit of tragedy, hasn't it? I mean, neglect, the building itself. I'm not talking about the inhabitants, but I mean, at one stage, it was in an awful state of repair.
It was. I mean, you're going back to the 1100s, you know, when the house was first built as, you know, the Priory of Newstead. And it was the Priory of St. Mary's at that point. And then the Byrons took over in 1540. And, you know, we all know the whole sort of tragedy life of the Byrons, really, where it was all about money. You know, the fourth Lord Byron, very wealthy, made the house very wealthy, had connections to Castle Howard via his daughter, who married into the Carlisle family. But then, unfortunately, the fifth Lord Byron, who was a little bit of a gambler, a little bit of a womanizer, decided to let the place go into disrepair, really, and spoil it. And then poor old Byron, the poet, didn't really have the money to mend it and to refurbish it, unfortunately. So the house was left in a bit of a poor state for quite a period. But, you know, it's fighting back. And, you know, what's nice is that since the 1930s, 1931, it's been with Nottingham City Council. And probably in a way, and I always say this to people, it's probably saved the house from being demolished and being taken down. Mm.
One final question, which I know because it's come to my mind and I think other people will be wanting me to ask it. I've asked it now. What was the most spookiest moment, most fearsome moment you've ever had in all of those hundreds upon hundreds of ghost hunts?
Do you know, I know, do you know, people ask me this a lot. I mean, the question what I always get from people is, what is your favourite location? And, you know, I honestly, hand on heart, it is really difficult. But I'm going to go with my heartfelt impression, a place that I've worked many, many years, worked there from being, gosh, probably the early sort of around sort of 2003, 2004. And it's got to be the Galleries of Justice or the National Justice Museum, as it's now known, in Nottingham. And that place just holds so many fear factors for me. You know, I remember at the end of the event having to go down, make sure everybody's out, lock up. And I used to come back running through that building like a screaming banshee. And people used to go, what are you going at? What are you doing there? I used to go, well, if I can't hear them, that, you know, I'm all right, I'm all right. And I've got to say, that was probably the one place that did used to put the frighteners up me a little bit, but a place that I dearly, dearly love.
I know, it's interesting because when Darren and I used to do deja vu shows there, originally we used to have an actress who used to dress up as a ghost, and she was bloody brilliant, and she full makeup, a white nightgown, and really, and she just used to sit around and look at people. And the last one that Darren and I did there, the deja vu, and there was 160 people in the civil courtroom. The whole of the upstairs balconies were full of people, and downstairs was absolutely full. The atmosphere was simply amazing. But somebody I knew quite well, Aidy, said to me, he said, oh, I see you've got the actress again sitting on the stairs. I thought to myself, no, we haven't.
You see, but do you know, these are some classic stories, and we get a lot of these at Newstead, you know, and especially when children come in the house. Because people will say, who's the little girl who's going up to the nursery? And you'll actually go, there actually isn't a little girl going up to the nursery because it's closed off. And we hear this a lot of times, you know, from people as they're walking around the house. And even to the point, there's a very, very, very famous story where apparently this couple turned up at the house. They were welcomed by what they called the butler. And this was recent, you know, this was like in current days. They were welcomed by the butler. He walked them around the house. And when they got to the end, they pointed to his photograph or his picture, and it was actually the picture of Joe Murray, and they said, that's the man who's just walked us round. And they said, actually, he died in 1820. And I don't think we've ever seen the couple since.
Interesting, isn't it? Isn't it interesting?
Fantastic.
I think those anecdotes are more powerful than perhaps when you and I recall things that we've done when we've been on ghost hunts. I mean, I've only ever done a few. I've thoroughly enjoyed them, and mostly they've always been at the Galleries of Justice, or I went to the infamous Anderby Hall a couple of times. To me, I thought that was a very interesting building, but it's influenced by people's preconceived ideas. I think that's one of the things about ghost hunts, isn't it? You do get people who have a preconceived idea, and they'll make that happen in their minds. I think if you're going to go on a ghost hunt, go with an open mind and just see where you go.
You've got to go with an open mind. And I always say to people, you know, no preconceived ideas. Don't read what's on any websites about that building or what previous groups have found, because, you know, all you set yourself up for is a bit of disappointment, really, because if it doesn't happen, you're almost going, oh, well, what was the point of doing that? And I did some filming recently with the BBC at a very well-known location. And I've got to say, apart from a very few minor pieces of information, activity-wise, we probably got nothing. And the thing for me, I was really quite disappointed. But when you do look back at the historical information, the haunting of that building only took place for about 2 years in the 1960s. And really, since then, there's been absolutely nothing.
So on that note, Barry, we will close this podcast. You will be able to listen to some of Barry's words on previous podcasts that he's made. I'll put the links on the page. And you'll also be able to read some of Barry's new contributions to Lizard Events News in the coming weeks. Barry is a very busy man. You can meet and join him at all of the shows that we do and all of the markets that we produce. And of course, you'll have the Pure Spirit brand to look forward to in 2021. If you want to have a private reading with Barry, I believe he's not doing one-to-one for obvious reasons at the moment, but he's more than happy to do a FaceTime or a Zoom reading with you. And you need to book early. You won't be able to just get a reading with this man the following day. So if you want a reading, get onto the diary, read early. And whenever he's doing Facebook Lives, for goodness sake, watch. They're absolutely fantastic. Mr. Barry John, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Take care.
God bless you, my friend.